It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chasing Big Joe, live day number three, SEC Media Days, here on 102.5 The Game. We are in Atlanta, hanging out on Radio Row, having a big time. We have a packed show for you today. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, is on the ones and twos as well, back at the studio. What's going on?
This is why you come down here, man.
Yeah.
This is all the access, the people, the talk of college football. Great guests, great people. You know, like, we'll have David Cutcliffe on the show later on. I mean, great talking to him about what's going on with Arch Manning and football and everything that's happening and just everybody else. We just talked to Ben Watson from the SEC Network. You had a great question about him and Mike Vrabel for the Patriots. Great answer. We'll have that for you this afternoon. So
I know. I kind of preface that by saying, like, yeah, we know Mike Vrabel. He doesn't like us. He doesn't like a lot of people. But that's
so
okay.
Oh, it's great. But come up at 12:15. We'll replay our interview with Josh Heupel yesterday. It's funny. We talk because it was live yesterday on Jared's show. But the folks that listened to it, they've texted me. Is like, he's got a little attitude, and they like it, which I think is good because he knows what's going on. Now, Heupel knows that, look, he's going to be asked about the quarterback situation, and that is what's going to run this football team. He was prepared to answer and said, let's go. Let's get it done and play football and everything. So we'll have that for you at 12:15.
Yeah. So if you missed it, if you missed Coach Heupel, he was on with us, and you will hear that. I mean, we have a lot more that we will have today. You mentioned Coach Cutcliffe, Danny Warfel will join us, Ben Watson, Chris Childers. I mean, people have been coming through fast and furious today. But Alabama is of course, they spoke earlier. They are one of the teams here. Then it's also Mississippi State, Florida, and Oklahoma. I think what's interesting is Florida is one of those teams that's kind of like, maybe we should pay attention to them.
Yeah.
Alabama, I think people pay attention to them because they're trained to do that and they need to. But I also think they need to pay attention to Alabama because if they figure quarterback out, they might be a pretty good team.
I think if they figure quarterback out, Chase, they win the whole thing. That Alabama football team is absolutely loaded from top to bottom. But they don't have a quarterback right now. That's the thing that people are waiting on. But as we've talked to Cole Kubelik and others about, you know, what Kalen DeBoer does, he loves taking these unproven kind of quarterbacks and making them superstar. It's what he's done his entire career. He's got that now in Ty Simpson. And, you know, Alabama did not dip into the portal and get a quarterback. They feel what they got right there at Alabama, Tuscaloosa, is good to go. So I'm telling you, that is a loaded football team again. And I think they're the one to look out for. But you're also right about the Florida question. Billy Napier's at the podium right now talking. That's the ones like you do keep an eye on because if some things go right for this Florida football team, they could be a real force down the stretch. But things have to go perfect for them if they want to be a player this year in 2025.
They do. They do. But, I mean, I think that's what, you know, that's kind of got to be the case for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Like it's got to go perfect. We're going to have Commissioner Greg Sankey join us at 12:45, so here in about 40 minutes. And there's all this talk about, you know, 8 conference games, 9 conference games. I think there's been a talk about should there be 9 conference games since the damn Clinton administration. I mean,
look
like
at that, you with the language.
Like, I mean, that's how far that conversation goes. But to his point, you play a SEC schedule. There is not much of a margin for error.
There's zero.
And that's why tying into the college football playoff, I think he's fighting so hard to make sure they have all the spots possible that they can get because of how hard the schedule is.
It is. And that's the thing. If they go to a 16-game playoff, look, 8
SEC games.
Which
they're going
games,
to. It's not if, it's when.
Yeah, yeah, I know. You're right. They're going to do that. And but it's got to be on all levels agreed upon. And I would not want to be in his position right now because there's a lot of – like, SEC wants this, SEC wants that. And I get it from both sides of that, but something's going to have to be figured out. Is 16 enough? When does it go to 24? I hate the fact that we have it now.
I think 16's enough.
I hate it. I like the 4 teams that we had. That's the way I am because now the 5th team's yelping because I'm not in.
Yeah.
The 13th team's mad. The 17th, I don't like that. And I told you this earlier. To me, college football, what sets it apart from the NFL is that every Saturday matters. Every game matters. When you go to 16, like, well, you can lose 1 or 2 games, still get in. That was not the mindset before.
Well, and I know you don't like that, but that's the part of the the good thing of the evolution of college football and the bad thing of the evolution of college football is that teams are so good that you, and again, you're going to blow me up for this, you should be able to have a little bit of wiggle room if, let's say, a Texas and Georgia play each other, like last year, and Georgia beats Texas. Well, should Texas be out just because they lost to a great team in Georgia? Should they be punished for that? I know you got to win the games.
Right.
But
so you want to reward them for playing tough?
I know. But it's like
right.
The goal should be to have the best teams compete for the national championship.
Right.
And yes, you could have the four, but I think the argument would be made that if things don't bounce a certain way, that you would have other teams that were out of that four that, hey, they could probably beat those four teams.
Let me ask you this. End of last year, who's better, Indiana or Alabama?
Alabama.
Indiana, South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, right. Mean, and that's what they're trying to figure out. And in newsflash, for everybody listening out there, they're never going to figure it out.
I think you animated to the camera, too.
Yeah, they're not.
No, and that's the thing. That's why I would not want to be a commissioner, because all this talk outside the game is about what do we do here? I mean, do we add 16? Is it 5-9-2 or whatever the you divvy it up with the conferences and at large? Here's the deal. They'll figure it out. You gripe and moan about it. We'll like it. We'll watch it, and we'll play. You know, that's what we'll do with all that. And that's the fun part about that. But it's still, you know, it just shows you the power right now of college football and the money that's involved and everybody. It's still a very powerful thing. And I love that. And I love the fact that we do get to talk about what happens on Saturday on the field. And to me, that's what drives the passion of college football.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, of course, all of our SEC Media Days coverage right here from Radio Row is presented by Brewhouse South. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Also, great locations on Highway 100 in Bellevue and Charlotte Pike on the west side of town as well. Shout out to Brewhouse and appreciate them for being on with us. Commissioner Greg Sankey going to join us at the end of this hour. We're looking forward to that. Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football, going to join us at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. I'm so thrown off. 1 o'clock Central
is
Time.
Is not Central Eastern the most difficult thing we've ever tried to figure out?
It's an hour, but it's like it's the dumbest thing, but I understand it. It is just like
you told me earlier, hey, we'll be there for 10. You know, I show up like at 9. Like, I told you 10. I'm like, what's 9 here? Like, oh, 10 over there. I was like, oh, my gosh. Got to figure this stuff out.
Yeah, so we have that, and then who knows who else? David Cutcliffe. I mean, man, that was fun.
Yes, it was
to sit down with him. But we look forward to talking to all of you and hearing from you throughout the day at 615-737-1025. Up next, though, yesterday was Tennessee's day. We had Coach Josh Heupel sit down at the table. We aired that during Stillman and Company. But if you missed it, we will bring that to you coming up next. I liked what he had to say, and he really dug into, hey, nobody, we're not making excuses. You'll hear that conversation coming up next. Chase and Big Joe on again this week, noon to 3, special time with DVD going ahead of us. We are doing this all week, but coming up next, Coach Josh Heupel from the Vols. SEC Media Days rolls on here on 102.5 The Game. We welcome in the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers, Josh Heupel, is here with us as I think he's wrapping up his day here on at SEC Media Days, which may be a good thing.
We're getting close. We're in the fourth quarter. I hope it doesn't go to overtime.
Yeah, we're getting close. You said earlier today, open competition for quarterback after Nico's departure. That's all documented. We know about that. But how excited are you to work with all of these guys? You got a couple of freshmen and then obviously an established guy in Joey who's transferred in. Yep. That's got to be exciting to you as a coach. To let them go out there and fight for
this is the fun part of it. It's challenging too, but those guys have handled themselves in a great way, competing fiercely to gain understanding, challenging each other, doing it in a positive way, gaining a voice with your teammates and how you have to impact them at that position. And At the end of the day, we're really transparent with those guys in the process. Everything goes into the evaluation. But ultimately, you're going to compete when you get to training camp, and somebody's got to learn it, earn it, and go take a job. And I think that's important for that position to gain the trust and respect that you need to from the guys around you. And that's in all three phases. I think it is important that your players see that process as well, because you know, competition and who you are every day, taking a job and those things we talk about at every position. So it better be true at quarterback too.
And I don't know if you view it this way or not, but does Joey have a leg up simply because he has experience, even though it's not with your program, not in your offense?
No, we're going to find out who's mastered what we're doing, can operate and function at an elite level, put our offense in the best position, you know, with everything that the quarterback controls and what we're doing, can take care of the football, and then go distribute it and let playmakers go make plays. And we're going to find that out as we go through training camp.
Tennessee head football coach Josh Heupel's with us. I know new quarterback situation's coming in, but at the end of the day, you're a football coach. You like to coach. Man, I mean, I kind of think this is exciting for you.
Absolutely. You know, today is the fourth quarter of the talking season, and right. we're getting ready to go play some ball. For us, like coaches want to coach, and a part of that is coaching young guys to get a chance to grow. And there's nothing better than seeing them figure things out and continue to become a better football player. And you know, during the course of that journey together, you know, as we get ready to get in training camp, I'm excited about the growth that we've seen from all of the guys, but I'm ready to get to the field and put helmet and shoulder pads on and go play real football too.
You know, a lot of consternation with Tennessee fans about what the court. Of course, that's what we always do.
That's what's awesome about Tennessee fans, right. Man. Like, they care, man, and they're into it. I love that part.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, Joey and George, everybody's showing up August 15th. They've been there for a little bit, so they're acclimated to the city, the community, to the teammates, everything. That's all. Back in the day, when we showed up at camp, it was August the 5th. We had 3 weeks before our first game. Like, what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah, it's different in that respect. You know, George has been there since December, right? And Merck's been there for 18 months, maybe a little bit longer than that. And, you know, Joey's been there since early May. And, you know, he got a chance to go through the installs and, you know, kind of rinse and repeat and go back through those things and in the summer months. But all of those guys, first of all, they're doing it the right way. And I think that's important. You look at Hendon and Joe, who competed for a starting job.
Right.
Right. And then, you know, it changes, right? Who is the starter? But how they handled that situation, two guys that became great friends, still great friends, they're in the NFL, like, that allows our team to be its best. And, you know, we were really clear on how guys are going to have to handle this. Who they are in the building, but the interactions, and then ultimately how they compete together too.
We love guys from the Middle Tennessee area, and
I love them too, man. I do.
And you brought Arian Carter here, the guy we knew at Smyrna High School.
Yeah,
we love that young man. What makes him special to you?
I love that guy too. You know, you think about his journey, high school running back, switching to linebacker. Smart, tough, relentless competitor that loves football. Not what football brings him, but loves football. And a dynamic leader. And that guy is super consistent and mission focused on what he wants to accomplish individually and the plan that he has to get there and how he attacks it every day, but what he wants to accomplish as a football team.
Right.
And just grown into a dynamic, infectious leader. And, you know, that's why he's here today with us.
Josh Heupel is with us, Vols head coach. You played this game at a high level. You've coached this game at a high level. And you know that. Excuse, there are no such thing.
Nobody cares.
At excuses.
That's what I love about this game. The only thing that matters is when the clock ticks zero.
So you probably know where I'm about to go
with
this.
You're either plus one or you're not. That's all that matters.
There's this narrative that with the quarterback situation and what happened with Nico, that you might get a pass this year. That if things don't go well, the Vols get a pass. Coach Heupel gets a pass. Does that piss you off when you hear that?
Man, it's been a long time since I walked into a ball game not thinking that we were going to win that ball game. It's been a long time, long before I got to Tennessee. nobody in our program has ever used anything as an excuse from day one when we got there. When I got there, said we're good enough to win right now. Now, your margins might be different.
Sure.
You know, year to year, team to team, your margins can be different. But this football team is good enough to go win. And, you know, that's the athletic traits that we have, both sides of the football. It's what we have in our staff room. We got to go compete and go take it every play, every practice, every day. And ultimately, you get to kick off, and, you know, coaches and players together got to find a way to go win the game.
With what you just said, that you believe in this football team, is that why it was important for you to make a quick decision when everything went down of, hey, I believe in the guys that are here, that want to be here, that are bought in?
At the end of the day, you got to protect who and what you are or want to be inside your program. I think in any adverse situation, being able to communicate clearly, authentically, and timely matters to your program.
Sure.
And that's your staff, it's your players, it's staff, family, players, families, whatever it might be. And, you know, we've developed a culture. We've developed a connection, an accountability to each other. Not saying we're perfect in it every single day, but we've developed that, and we're going to stay true to that. What's outside the game has changed.
Sure.
What it takes to go win on Saturday, 12 of them during the course of the season, that ain't changed.
Yep. Right.
You got to be tough. You got to be smart. You got to be relentless competitors. Everybody's got to do their job. And we're not going to give up on those things that we need to go win. Standard at Tennessee is to go win championships. We got to go accomplish that mission as fast as we can.
One more before I let you go. August 30th, you come back here to Atlanta. You take Syracuse at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. How much would you love to run out that day and see that stadium?
Man,
Tennessee orange, not Syracuse orange.
It's going to be filled with orange. I would be shocked, disappointed. I don't know what other word I can use to describe it. If that baby is not packed with the right shade of orange, with loud people screaming Rocky Top at the top of their lungs.
Love it.
Coach, thanks so much for doing this. I know you're very busy. We're looking forward to it. 6 weeks away, hard to believe.
I appreciate it. Looking forward to this journey with this football team, our fan base too. Our fans not a better fan base in college sports, college football. They've been a huge part of the growth of our program. They're a huge part of our success recruiting. We're going to need them as we go through this 25 journey to be the best versions of themselves and ready to attack every Saturday with us too.
That is Coach Josh Heupel, who sat down at our table yesterday. And Joe, I mean, I asked the question that had to be asked. I knew, you know, he was ready for it, but the getting a pass and excuses and Nico leaving and all that. And I texted Robbie Stanley when he gave that answer of, like, you know, I'm not even a Vols fan and I'm ready to run through a wall. Like, I just
see he got you.
He got, yeah. And so, I mean, he has said the right things. Now they're going to have to back it up.
Sure.
Because Vols fans, I want to hear from you. 615-737-1025. I don't think they're making the excuses yet. But I think if, you know, they start the year off, you know, 3-3 or whatever, then they might.
Yeah.
But I think there is optimism. Obviously, there's optimism in the building. If there isn't, then you got bigger problems to worry about.
What if Aguilar is good?
Yeah.
And what if he runs that
offense? He's pretty good at App State.
To perfection. I mean, you know, we've talked to some people down here about Nico and asked him why the Vols did not go, you know, up-tempo, go, go, go. And some have told us, look, they thought Nico was unsure about running that offense. And there were a lot of missteps with Nico, and a lot of missteps. What if Joey Aguilar comes in and runs it like Heupel wants to be run?
Let me ask this question. And Vols fans, you think about this for a second, and then we'll come back and talk about it. What if it turns out like Hendon Hooker, that nobody thought was going to do anything when he left Virginia Tech? What if that happens?
Talk yourself into it, Chase.
I mean, Talk yourself into it. Think about it. 615-737-1025. Again, we are live on Radio Row, SEC Media Days, down here in Atlanta. Chase and Big Joe on noon to 3 today, and all of our coverage is sponsored by Brewhouse South. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Commissioner Greg Sankey going to join us at 12:45, but we discuss all of this with the Vols next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. With the quarterback situation and what happened with Nico, that you might get a pass this year. That if things don't go well, the Vols get a pass. Coach Heupel gets a pass. Does that piss you off when you hear that?
Man, it's been a long time since I walked into a ball game not thinking that we were going to win that ball game. It's been a long time, long before I got to Tennessee. Nobody in our program has ever used anything as an excuse from day one when we got there. When I got there, said we're good enough to win right now.
That was Coach Josh Heupel, our conversation with him yesterday, Chasing Big Joe here on Radio Row at the College Football Hall of Fame right next to the Omni Hotel in downtown Atlanta, Georgia, presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. And I feel like that, you know, the comments that he made, he made these in a lot of places, but made them on the podium of basically like, hey, we're going to have an open competition at quarterback. We're all in. Our team's bought in. You'll hear from some of the players we talked to yesterday. You can tell that they know what the message is and they're feeling good. And that's great. And that's how everybody needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me early October after they've played Georgia.
Okay. How about talk to you after they play Syracuse?
Yeah, well, that too.
To me, that's a game, you know, you're coming down here to Atlanta on August the 30th. You're going to break out your new quarterback. You're playing a Syracuse football team that's a good football team. It's a good test for Tennessee. See how it goes then. You're on the road. What a better place to start.
Yeah.
I mean, you're away from Neyland. You're on the road. Let's see what happens. This guy's up for the challenge. There was a little grittiness to him.
I loved it.
Hadn't been here in a while. It's like, all right, go ahead and talk about Arch and Georgia and everybody else. Don't you have to talk about us. We're good. We'll show you. We'll
talk
see
about Pavia.
Talk about Pavia.
Talk about Vandy.
Yeah, whatever you want to. He likes his football. Of course he's going to say he likes it. But
you can look at a coach and hear a coach, and, you know, like, we got to know Vrabel well enough that we could tell when he didn't like somebody.
Yeah, right.
You know, so you have that. Like, I do believe that there's, and, you know, as I mentioned before we went to the break, what if Joey Aguilar does what Hendon Hooker did? Now, I'm not saying he's, you know, going to be a Heisman candidate and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But he could.
I mean, 21, nobody knew his name. Ah, let's transfer in.
Yeah, everybody wrote Hendon Hooker off.
Virginia Tech.
Because he wasn't great at Virginia Tech and all that. I mean, he was written off.
He was.
And then he comes into Tennessee and that offense, and it clicks.
Oh, he ran that offense so well.
Right.
So well.
It was quick. So if Aguilar can do that, then I think Vols fans will be very, very happy.
Yeah, you know, and we deep dive into their schedule yesterday. I mean, with the Syracuse game opening up down here in Atlanta, game two, East Tennessee State at home, and then Georgia comes in. You know, and Georgia's going to come in after, you know, two cream pops and Marshall and Austin Peay. That's what's going to happen. So that game is so vital to what you want to do. You win that game, Chase. The next big thing is at Alabama, because you got Arkansas coming in. I think you play UAB, another non-conference game. Then you go to Alabama, and that, to me, that's going to be a massive test. But it all goes back to this Georgia game. And if you could beat Georgia and Aguilar is your guy, it sets up perfectly.
He said when he was asked about so there was a kind of an exchange yesterday during his big media scrum. The question was, the fortune for Tennessee against Georgia in the past, the recent memory has not been too well for the Volunteers. Heupel interrupted and said, thanks for reminding me. The question goes on, how's it going to be different this year welcoming the Bulldogs back to Knoxville and Neyland? Heupel says, quote, we haven't been able to get on the right side of the scoreboard in that game. That's players and coaches together ultimately being a little bit better. A couple of those games last year, it's a tight ball game in the fourth quarter. For us, it's tying all three phases of the game together. Kirby and their staff, and then, you know, praises that.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, like, he knows.
He does know.
That's the one he's got to figure out. So since he's been the head coach, let's go through the checklist. Beaten Alabama twice.
Yep.
Florida twice.
Is that right? God, it's been so.
I think so.
Didn't beat them last year in Knoxville.
Barely.
Yeah. Did not beat them
twice. Yeah, so twice.
Okay.
Yeah, because they split. I think they beat them the same year they beat Alabama.
In 22, yes. That's right.
Yeah, so I think.
Tennessee hasn't won in Florida since 2003. that right?
Yes.
Is my mind losing? Yeah. Yes, it's
all right,
2003.
Well, hang on. Now, all right, 2021. Oh, I want – all right, 2021, Tennessee. People are out there probably yelling, like, I know the answer.
They haven't won in Florida, right? Since 2003.
No.
That's right.
No. Lost at Florida his first year.
21.
38-14. And lost to Bama. Lost to Georgia. So he hasn't – so I think Georgia's the only one he hadn't beaten yet. Is what I was getting at.
Well, I mean, Georgia won the national championship in 21 and 22, and everything in 23 and 24. So, yeah,
they beat Florida in Knoxville in 22 and then beat Alabama. Remember, they lost to South Carolina, too. That's the one where Hendenhooker got hurt.
Yep.
23, lose to Florida at Florida, lose to Bama at Bama, and lost to Georgia. And then last year, yeah.
Yes, that's correct. You got all those. Yep,
so we're there.
Right.
So, I mean, look, that's kind of the next one on the checkerboard checklist of you got to take care of Georgia.
Now, if you lose the game, don't let it deflate you and like, oh, God, we got, you know, because as we talked about earlier, you still got a chance to make the playoff because, you know, that's now you get kind of one pass to do that, but you still go out and
get a couple passes. I mean, that's the thing. It depends.
Get my blood pressure up.
Just depends.
My blood pressure up.
We're going to go ahead and step away real quick and then be joined by SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. We will do that. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe live from SEC Media Days, presented by Brewhouse South and Cool Springs, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe live on Digital Drive here at SEC Media Days at the College Football Hall of Fame, presented by Brewhouse South and Cool Springs. I'm very excited to bring on our next guest. He is the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. Greg Sankey is with us, and you've always been very nice with your time to come on here in Nashville. I know this is a great event. You have to be having a good time.
It's always motivating to be at the beginning of a football season with high expectations. People are generally in a good mood. Everybody's undefeated. Get to have a little conversation, get to know the people. A fun week. A lot of talking, a lot of moving around, a lot of stuff, but all good.
A lot of things that are going on off the field that obviously you have to be in the middle of with your job. And, you know, I'll start with within the conference. And I heard your comments about 8 games versus 9 games. And I feel like I made the joke earlier that should it go to a 9-game schedule has been discussed since the Clinton administration. I mean, I feel like it comes up every year. I do think you make a good point when you look at an SEC schedule compared to, and no disrespect to another conference, but compared to someone else, 8 games might be enough. But do you feel like with the growth of college football and kind of where everything is going, you might have to go to that 9th game at some point?
I don't know that we have to. The discussion of 9 games that's taking place now was tied to our single division format. The question about fairness within the conference to determine a conference champion. So the more you play, the more equitable the schedule, because you'll have the likelihood of playing more teams similar to your opponent's schedule. We also know over time from church, our fans want to see our teams play each other.
Yeah.
And that's pretty consistent, a variety of sports. So those really become the factor. There's no have to in that. There's the kind of what represents the best competitive model. Now, there are reasons to evaluate or work with our media partners. Go from 8 to 9. You actually lose 8 games in the college football playoff access and selection process, and then bowl eligibility for a number of schools, prominent. Those are the factors that make or help inform the decision.
Yeah. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey is with us. Speaking of the playoff, there's all the discussion about what if it were to expand to 16. Now, he liked the 4.
Love the 4.
But
love it.
I like the 12. I'm cool with 16. But I do think, you know, you got to figure out what is going to be the best format to get the best 16 teams in. There's all this talk about 4-4, 2-2-1, you know, the 5 conference champions, whatever. Do you think this is one of those things that at the end of the day, whether it's you or the Big Ten or whoever, that you're never going to fully agree on it, but you're going to have to agree to disagree to find the best format? I mean, is that where this is eventually going to go?
The way you presented it was actually one of the better presentations in framing the question, because you have the five conference champion allocation that will exist, whether it's 12, 14, or 16. So there's this way too great emphasis on like 5-11. Well, it's 5 and whatever. So it's 5-7 right now. And we could have stayed at 4. We were the reluctant entity moving into the conversation from 4 to 12. I think 12 was introduced at a really interesting time in college football where it showed the ability teams beyond just 4 to compete at the highest level for a national championship. Ohio State wouldn't have even been in the only.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have had Clemson in. You wouldn't have had SMU in at all. It brought people into the game, if you will, late in the season because they still had a chance. And I think that's healthy. Now, what are the limits around that? In the way you describe it, from the 5 to then the number to then the how do teams access playoff? How are they selected to the playoff? Those are the decisions.
Yeah.
You know, what's our underlying 5 conference champion? That's really decided. That's not going to change. Now what's the number? And how do they access? And that's where it branches off. Is it the automatic qualifier model like the 4-4-2-1-1? Or is it we want improved selection processes, protocols, to make sure that the best teams are the ones that focus of entry college playoff beyond the 5 allocation? And that's where our conference ended its discussion. We don't want to just go to 4 because a lot of years we could have more than 4.
Yeah.
Just accepting that for the national championship bracket was not endorsed. And what was endorsed was let's work on the selection process.
We're talking to SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Would you like just one day not to talk to anybody? Right?
Yeah, I kind of had that. Was my July 4th. I put my phone off to the side. What happens is you go through the College World Series. This summer had an extra day because it was only a 2-game series instead
right.
of 3. And then we had a bunch of stuff, some meetings, some family stuff. And then I go to a place we have on a lake and try to decompress. Now, the challenge for me is you're thinking about what to say here, and we're not. You're always accessible by cell phone. So I'll cherish my July 4th not talking.
Oh,
and then you go right into this. So there's not like any ramp up after a quiet week. You're like thrown into 4 days of conversation.
Has adding Texas, Oklahoma gone as well as you thought it would go?
I think so. I think everybody has acknowledged that normality now. They competed at a high level across the board, maybe up in some sports, down in some others. They've been a part of our meeting process and decision-making process really since late summer 2021, at the AD level, President Chancellor came in early thereafter. Coaches started meeting 2 years in advance. So they were all assimilated. And we were fortunate. If you look at conference expansions, we had a long runway to reach their entry. I think we used those 3 years wisely.
The other night, Greg, we got to watch the Netflix documentary Any Given Saturday.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Fascinating. I know SEC football is very popular. Can this take it to another level? Is there another level of fandom and appreciation and love for SEC football?
I think so. And that's about reach. It's about showing the people, you know, showing who they are. You know, there's a couple moments of rough language in each episode,
yep.
but it's honest. The reach of Netflix domestically, internationally is important. And we're not going to grab a lot of punters from Spain. We do have that from. We have some players
Good.
From Germany. We have some punters from Australia. But I think people are interested in the humanity of football. I've been in the Middle East. I've been in UAE and Oman having conversations about college football.
Love it.
You now have an entry point for that fandom. I've been in Ireland having conversations about SEC football. I've been in London much the same. Now there's at least a touch point. I also think strategically with Netflix's positioning, they may be very much in the live sports endeavor. They are a little bit now with NFL, but that may grow. NBA, that may grow. And showing who we are is important. I will say early returns, we heard good things out of the preview. I was with a sponsor at the Home Run Derby, so I was not there. But the social media reaction, just the introduction, was at a very high level. And that's what some really good comparisons that Netflix has, a very, very high level.
We're talking to SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, kind of looking back at what we were talking about with the playoff, that, and it's not just the SEC that I think faces this, but there are some coaches that they view the championship game, the conference championship game, as, I hate using the word hindrance, but that it's the extra game that they have to play as they move in to the playoff. It, has there been discussion, could there be a discussion that maybe that game goes away at some point in time?
Not anything substantial. I'm asked during my visits this week. You know, you think about last year, you didn't hear anything negative out of the two coaches.
Sure.
In fact, in some ways, you just determine it as advantageous. Georgia had a bye. They didn't win, but it was a close game, and that should have been a close game. Texas was able to play in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where they played Arizona State in the Peach Bowl. Georgia was a conference champion. They're a proud conference champion. Conference champion still matter. So it's not been a substantial agenda item.
You know, when I first talked to you, it was about 6 or 7 years ago. College football looked, college athletics looked a heck of a lot different than it does right now. Obviously, nobody saw what happened with the Pac-12 that would happen. Now it's more of a Power Four, but in really some ways, it's kind of you guys in the Big Ten. As you try and navigate these waters and talking with, you know, the government and their involvement and NIL and all of that, what do you think this looks like when we're sitting here maybe 3 or 4 years from now? Is it still the individual conferences, or is there more of a united front than there is now when it comes to college athletics?
I start in answering that question by going to what's on the field. And even the game itself has changed. You know, bigger, faster, stronger. You have replay. You have an extra official from where we may have been 15 years ago. But I think, and you have different on blocking or pass plays or hideout plays. I mean, safety, health and safety rules. So I think the game itself looks much the same. There are going to be adaptations there as well. I think the timing of the game could be a bit more efficiently. How do we use technology? We have sideline helmet communication. When you go outside the boundaries, I think right next to those sidelines, that probably looks the same. Team box, coaches. The further and further you go, that's where the questions become more difficult to answer. Directly, my view, and I'm admittedly biased, is the conference affiliations can, do, should have me down in the college football's a regional endeavor that's elevated itself to a national profile. But to have the depth of opportunity we have now, you're going to have something more than just single entity,
right?
A super conference.
One more question for you. This is kind of a hard-hitting one here, Greg. How do you determine what game to go to every Saturday in the fall? I would love that itinerary.
So I actually, for the first time in now 11 seasons, have plotted out an entire schedule.
Oh, nice. Season.
My goal is to see every team twice, generally once at home or a neutral site, and once on the road. And I achieved that. Now, then things come up, and the reason that I've never done that before is as soon as you fill it out, somebody will call and say, hey, we've got a special event.
Right.
Could you be a part of that? Or what you think will be a big game isn't a big game, and another game's a big game. And you know, I have meetings that bring me different places. You try to get in position to be at the meeting or to not be at a game when you're preparing for it. So it's The development of that is almost all in my own mind.
I love it.
The first goal is see every team twice during the season, generally once at home and once or at a new site once on the road.
Well, Commissioner, we always appreciate our chats with you. We know Nashville is very important to the conference with the men's basketball tournament there, and this event's been there. And your relationship with Sean Henry and the Predators. But thanks so much for doing this. We look forward to seeing what happens with each changing day. It seems like it's day by day.
And you know, Nashville's that way, right?
Yeah.
Incredible community. The number of construction cranes all around is magnificent. Went to a Zac Brown concert at the Pinnacle for the first time. Just that venue. That was pretty cool. And saw when I was up there for the CAA World Congress of Sports, the initial presentation of the plans for what's envisioned around Bridgestone. Yep. It's amazing to think. The first time I went to Bridgestone, there were a lot of plumbing supply buildings and vacant lots around there.
Yes.
Now what occupies that space? Pretty remarkable what's happened. I know what the Titans are doing is special.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure that question will get brought up a time or two. Hey, even though great stadium over here in Atlanta, you know, you never know. But thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you, guys.
Commissioner Greg Sankey joining us here from Digital Drive, SEC Media Days, 102.5 The Game.